And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So verse 27, so created man in his own image, in the image of God created he them, he him, male and female created he them. Are you seeing this? All right, so God said, let us make man in our image. I'm going fast because most of us are Bible students. We know these things already. But I want to see, I want you to see that you were born to face darkness. Because watch this. When Adam and Eve made the decision to eat off the tree and receive their information from somewhere else, the first thing God said is, y'all can't stay here like y'all are. So now the question is, God had to send, God sent them somewhere where Eden was not. So Eden didn't cover the whole earth. It was only a space. Right, you got this. Now, the ultimate plan of God was to train Adam and Eve how to walk in that dominion. Once they learned how to walk in that dominion, he was going to release them into the darkness, and they was going to be able to create light like he created light. So now you don't have to be uptight about the situations you face. Not why, God. Why is this happening to me, God? That's the wrong question. Because it's too late to ask why, because you're in the situation. The question to be asked God is, God, what are we going to do? And notice what I said. God, what are we going to do? Not God, what you going to do. God, what are we going to do? Because God can't do nothing in the earth realm unless he has a body. Is that making sense? So you were born to face darkness. You're the light of the world. What's the use in being a light if you're not going to darkness? So don't be alarmed by the situations you face. All you got to realize is I'm supposed to bring light to this situation. Now the question is, am I going to allow God to use me to bring light into this situation? This is where we have to redefine faith. First thing I want you to know about faith that you were taught that was not absolutely correct. The purpose of faith is not to get what you want. That's not the purpose of faith. The purpose of faith is not for you to get what you want. It can produce what you want, but that's not the purpose. You see how we start to switch terms that we learn religiously and we learn from denominations, but now we're going to begin to learn them apostolically. All right, Hebrews 11 and 1. Let me prove this to you. Because when you see this and you understand this, you will coast through situations. Notice what I said, you will coast through situations. It won't be a struggle. It will not be a struggle. You may have to suffer some things. Difference between suffering and struggling. There's one main difference between suffering and struggling. Struggling is I'm in a situation and I don't know how I'm going to get out. Suffering is I'm in a situation and I know how I'm going to get out. That's the difference. Because the Bible said there's some things we're going to suffer. But because we're suffering and we're going through something, we know how to get out. Struggling is when you're in a situation and you don't see the light of day. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't have no clue as to how this even going to end. All right. Hebrews 11 and 1. This chapter is considered the Hall of Faith. We won't read all of it. But I want you to read enough for you to get a gist of where we're going. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, most people have taken this scripture and made it about them. And this scripture is not about you. The scripture is not about what you want. It's not about that.
Verse 2. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he what? Okay, please God. Okay, watch this. Verse 6. It says, but without what?
Faith.
But without faith, it is impossible to do what? Please God. Please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right. So now here's the question before we, because we're going to redefine what faith is. All right. I know you know that faith is acting and believing on the word of God. Right. But I live in a natural world. I hope you do too. I'm a supernatural being living in a natural world. So every spiritual understanding got to become concrete for me to work it in this natural world. It can't stay in the spirit world. Anything that stays in the spirit world and does not have the opportunity to affect the natural is irrelevant. So faith can't just be a spiritual concept to me. It has to be a concrete concept. Concrete, not abstract. Abstract means I can't touch it, I can't feel it, I can't put my hands on it. Concrete means I can put my hands on it, I can see it, I can locate it, I know where it is. So faith has to become a concrete concept to you. It can't be an abstract. It can't be just I'm acting on the word of God, I'm believing and acting on the word of God. What does that mean? All right. So here it is, the question is, it says, but without what? Faith. It's impossible to do what? So my first purpose, the first purpose of faith is to
please God.
Look in the fifth verse. Look in the fifth verse. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this before his translation. Now we look at the translation as saying, man, he was a powerful and he was anointed. And man, translation, that's a wonderful gift. But the Bible says before he translated, he had this testimony. That he what?
Please God.
Please God. So my faith, the first priority or the original purpose of my faith or the main objective of my faith is to please God. Right?
Yes.
Go back to first one. So if we look at Hebrews 11 and 6 and we see that my main objective, that faith's main objective is to please God. Right? Mm-hmm. Then we got to go to verse 1 and realize that verse 1 is not talking about stuff we hoping for. I know you thought it was what you was hoping for, stuff that you're believing God for. But if my faith is to please God, then watch this. Now faith is the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now you're in that scripture, but you ain't where you think you at in that scripture. See, the things hoped for is what God is planning. What is hope? Hope is nothing more than a dream, some future goals, or something in the future. It says that my faith is the substance of things hoped for. My faith is the stuff that brings dreams to reality. So my faith is to bring God's dreams to reality. Not faith is changed. Hope you listen to me, internet. Faith is changing now, huh? So now it's no longer faith is just to get my house. Oh, faith is no longer just to get my car. Faith is no longer for me to get what I want. It can produce that, but that's not its objective. So if we don't have the priority or the objective of faith correct, our stuff gets stuck. Stuff that's supposed to be ours and rightfully ours don't show up. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
So, So my faith, because I'm going to really define faith for you in a few moments, because we're going to be able to go, you're going to be able to go through every time you see the word faith in the Bible and understand what's being said. Right? So my faith, really what verse 1 is saying, my faith is the stuff that brings God's dreams to pass. And my faith is also the evidence of things that I'm promised that I don't see yet. Matthew 6:33. This is, Matthew 6:33 is a faith scripture. It is a faith scripture. Matthew 6:33. This is by far my, this is my favoriteest scripture in the Bible. What's the first word? Mm-hmm. What usually means? That whatever was said previously before that has been eliminated. All right. You got me? Let's see what the 32nd verse says. What it says. On count of three, I want you to read it to me. One, two, three, read. Right? So Jesus, written in red, right? Jesus is setting the terms and the tone and the platform for which verse 33 is going to be effective. He said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, right? It's not talking about spiritual things. Gentiles don't know they need Jesus. They don't know they need the gift of the Holy Spirit, the speaking in tongues. They don't know they need the gifts operating in their life. They don't know they need to walk in love. They don't know these things. They're not, what the things they looking for? Stuff. You know, houses, cars, big bank accounts, luxurious vacations, whatever, you know, those nice things. It says the Gentiles seek after those things, right? But your heavenly Father, what? Won't you see this? Your heavenly Father, what? That you have what?
Need.
Wait a minute. Listen to what you just said to yourself. What you have just said to yourself is whatever the Gentiles seek after, your heavenly Father knows that you don't just desire them. Now we go to verse 33. But forget verse 32. Listen to that minute. Forget verse 32. But seek ye what?
First.
Uh-huh. And what? Now this is important. This is important. This is important. Kingdom is God's ways of doing things. Right? And watch what his righteousness means. Righteousness is not only a position, but is a way to do things. So what Jesus is saying there is, seek ye first God's ways of doing things, and doing them his way right. Not just right, because we've discovered that there's ways that seem right to man, but the end thereof is death. So we have to find out what the kingdom of God wants us to do, and we have to do them his way. Right? Because then what's going to happen? What things? Now you can go back to verse 32. Are you saying this? So here it is out of the mouth of Jesus. Jesus is telling us that if we seek first the kingdom of God or God's ways of doing things and doing them his way right, he will add all these things to us, things referring to the 32nd verse. So whatever the Gentiles go after, we don't have to worry about going after. We do what God's saying, and he'll give us what? The desires. So now faith. So now I don't need to be getting up every morning confessing this coming. What I need to be getting up in the morning, is saying, God, what are we going to do today? God, what will you have me to do today? All right. You see this now. Go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Let's define faith. Because remember now, faith has to be concrete.
If faith is pleasing God, then faith has something to do with the kingdom of God. And if faith has something to do with the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then I got to understand what faith is. Because if I don't understand what faith is, I can't please God. If I can't please God, then I'm not seeking him first. So I can't be guessing about what faith is. I can't be playing around what faith is. It cannot be an abstract idea or abstract concept. I mean, it has to be very concrete. Romans, the 12th chapter. Third verse. It says, this is Apostle Paul, right? He said, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. It didn't say you ought to think high, just don't think more highly than you should. All right. But to think soberly, according as God has, wait a minute, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, we got to deal with this because here we see that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The, not, notice what he said. It didn't say a measure. The, very specific. And the word measure, let me define the word measure. The word measure just simply means part or a piece. So, you know, you're cooking and, you know, somebody baking a cake or baking a pie or whatever, baking cookies or whatever, where you may have, I don't know, 2 parts flour, right? 2 parts water. I'm just guessing. I don't know. So all y'all bakers in here, don't hold me to this. You know, don't follow my cooking instructions. I'm just throwing this out, all right? But the parts or pieces or measures. Right? So it says, God has dealt to every man a piece of something. So this is something that's concrete. All right? So Paul is saying we shouldn't think more highly of something we ought to think. We ought to think soberly. For God has given every man a specific piece of faith. So now, if I've been given a piece of faith, here's where we introduce the word covenant. If I've been given a specific part of faith, that means I haven't been given the whole thing. That means I'm only one part. So that means I'm going to have to collaborate with some other people so we can become whole. See, here's where we introduce the word covenant. The word covenant, it's not just an agreement. And we're going to deal with covenant more next week. It's just not an agreement. It's not just a legal document. An agreement is an exchange of strengths and elimination of weaknesses. So there are going to be some weaknesses that you have that God is going to connect you with people that are strong in that area. And so in covenant, there has to be trust. There has to be integrity. We're going to get into all this. There has to be love. Because covenant, one of the purposes of covenant is to provide security and protection. So we're going to get into all this. So now you have to understand covenant just like you have to understand faith. Because if you've been given a piece of something, you can't never become the whole until you get with somebody that can help you be whole. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was to put you in a position that you can be apostolic. But you still have to choose to be. Things not going to automatically happen to you because you're a Christian. The only thing that automatically happens to you because you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior is that you are the righteousness of God. I mean, you have a right to hear his voice. You have a right to participate in what God is doing. But you still have to choose to hear him, and you still have to choose to participate. Are you seeing this? So, I
I have to understand covenant in order for me to really walk my faith out completely. All right, I understand covenant. Because if I'm a piece, if God has given me a piece of something, great example, a puzzle. You are a piece to the puzzle. How many of y'all put puzzle together? I stop putting puzzle together when they start getting 200, 300, 400 pieces, 2,300. Mm-mm, that's okay. That's okay, because it's frustrating when you done lost one piece. And you done put everything together, you can't find that one piece. That's how God feels. That's how God felt when Adam and Eve ate off that tree. Frustrated. So, I am a piece to the puzzle. This puzzle of the kingdom. There's some people that will not get a clear picture unless I'm in where I'm supposed to be. Is this making sense? This is good to me. I just some of the stuff I'm just getting. This is good to me. So now let's break. I always, with me, I'm simple. I always have to break things down to where I understand it and I can apply it. So what word can we use to replace the word faith? And it will give us concrete, something we can put our hands on. All right. Let me read it to you. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me that to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man their piece of the assignment. All right. So now, the first rule, when you exchange a word in the Bible, the first rule you got to pass is this word got to fit everywhere that word exists. So let's go to some of the places where the word faith exists and replace it with the word assignment. All right. Let's go back to the one we just read, Hebrews 11 and 1. Are you learning anything?
Yes, sir.
Some of you are going to get manifestations so quick when it's just a matter of changing focus. You get manifestations so quick. That you're going to wonder, you're going to give you a swim in the head because you're going to be like, I didn't realize faith was this easy. Amen. See, you know what the Bible says? You ask, but you ask amiss, consuming on your own lust. So we go to God and we keep asking God for stuff. We keep asking God for things. Then we're blocking those things from coming. Because when we go to God, it should be going to God to ask him what he wants. Because if I seek first.
Yes, sir.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Hebrews 11 and 1. Watch this. Now my assignment is the substance of what God is hoping for. Or my assignment brings to reality the dreams of God. Let's make sense of this. When I do what God is asking me to do, then what God had planned is being done. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to do what? Give you an expected end. So if there is an expected end, there's also an unexpected end. Unexpected end comes when we start doing things on our own without his input. Is this making sense? So God has already thought about us. Ephesians, I believe, is the first chapter, the third verse, before the foundations of the world. He planned for us to be blessed. Make note of that Ephesians 1, I think it's Ephesians 1 and 3. So my assignment brings to reality the dreams of God. Because now we got to, how can I, once again, how, Leroy Jr., why you think that those things hoped for in that first verse is talking about what God is hoping for? Because you go to the sixth verse and it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. So in order for me to please God, I got to be fulfilling what he wants. So it got to be, so this hope for is not my stuff. The evidence of things not seen is my stuff. Galatians 3:11. Verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. The just shall live by. The just shall live, or the just shall carry out their process of life by their assignment. That's what lives mean, to carry out the process of life. By my assignment. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward, for ye have need of patience, that, y'all see this? Look at verse 36. For ye have need of patience that, not before, after, right? Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Verse 38. Right? Keep reading. Keep reading.
But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
But my soul shall have no
pleasure.
So if you're a Christian, ain't doing what God is asking you to do, you ain't giving God no pleasure. Are you saying this? Is this? Why in the world do people think? See, they take God for a punk. Man, listen, if God can get rid of his first two creations, because I'm saying that God is out to get you, but what happens is we want to do things our way and then want the power of God to do things for us, when the original purpose of God was to accomplish his will.
Amen.
Is this making sense? Habakkuk 2:4. Since you thought it was just all New Testament. Habakkuk 2:4. Take you a while to get there. Look in the table. I'm a table contents person. I don't know all 66 books of the Bible in a row. I just don't know it. But I know the God of the Bible. So if I know the God of the Bible, then I can go to the table of contents and see what the God of the Bible was saying.
Amen.
So don't get offended if you got to go to the table of contents. Don't be all super spiritual on me here. I'm a table of contents person. Habakkuk 2:4. Everybody there?
Yes, sir.
It says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the what? The just or the righteous shall what?
Live by his assignment.
Wait a minute now. It just got personal.
Yeah.
It just got personal. The other three verses we read, the just shall live by faith. This version say the just shall live by
his.
So that's making reference to Romans 12:3. Where God dealt to every man the measure. It's specific. To you. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Romans 10. Verse Romans 10, verse 17. Oh, we know this scripture. If you've been taught about faith anything, anytime at all, you know this scripture. It says, so then comes by and hearing. Okay. So my assignment comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now here's where we have to understand the difference between our Western Hemisphere thinking and Eastern Hemisphere thinking. You know, Old Testament was written in what? Anybody knows? Hebrew. Right? No, you get, that's all right. At least you know it's a foreign language. It was written in Hebrew, right? New Testament was written in what? Greek. All right, so when King James translated the Bibles, it was hard for him to sometimes find some words to fit what was being said. And also, sometimes the Hebrew language and the Greek language are what's called romantic languages, which means, this is what all it means. It means that there was bodily reflection when they were talking. So if two Jews were talking to each other, they would not only be hearing what was said, but looking for facial expressions and body language. Same thing with the Greek language. So that means that they were able, that means that one word, a particular phrase, can mean two or three things depending on how it was said and what the body language was when it was said. You got me? So we get into the Western Hemisphere and we don't have a romantic language. Ours is partially romantic. In other words, you know, somebody's talking to you in a certain tone, you kind of get where they're coming from. Then when they get to clapping on you, you know what I'm saying? Then you know it's going to another level. All right. So when we read, but most times we read as Americans in this Western culture, and we kind of read and define words. Sometimes we use the context to figure out another definition. But most times we just take words as it is. So when we read Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith, or our assignment comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, then we just think Bible. But when you go and you go to the Strong Concordance and you look at the original meaning of word in that particular verse, it's not logos. It's rhema. See, logos is what God has said. Rhema is what God is saying. So my assignment don't come from logos. My assignment comes from rhema. So rhema is a live spoken word of God rather than a written read word of God. Are you seeing this? So when we read this, so now you understand why is it that when we read the word of God and we try to operate in this abstract faith and it don't work. Because faith does not come, watch this, by you just reading the word of God. Faith only comes when God begins to speak to you. Now here's why faith, understanding faith is so important, because faith in the Old Testament is a little bit different than faith in the New Testament. Faith in the Old Testament is easy to grasp. All right, y'all looking at me like, go back to Hebrews 11. I got five minutes and 40 seconds. Come on, hurry up. Go back to Hebrews 11 chapter. Remember we talked about the Hall of Faith, right? Here's how we can really define what faith is. We can put concreteness to this definition of assignment, of faith that we've getting, all right? Look in the seventh verse. By assignment, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear or respect, not scaredness, moved with respect to what God had told him, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world, became heir of righteousness, which is by assignment. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place by assignment, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive after, he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. By assignment, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in a tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob. Are you seeing this?
Yes,
so look at verse 17. By assignment, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Do y'all remember these stories?
Yes,
do y'all remember these stories? All these, the hall of faith is just repeating stories that we read in the Old Testament. Watch this. By faith, Moses gave the children of Israel instruction to put blood over their doorposts. Assignment. So now the assignment for them was to put blood over their doorposts. If they didn't put blood over the doorposts, what's going to happen? The death angel coming. What I want you to see, what I want you to get is understanding, and we're about to start shifting to understanding the role of an apostle. Have anybody ever defined for you what an apostle is? Does in a very the apostle does a lot of things, and you Tom's gonna go through a lot of detail, but in a nutshell, an apostle structures heaven to earth government, not earth to heaven, heaven to earth government or divine order, so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened, and that what is in the spirit world as due us can come into the natural. That's what an apostle does. An apostle structures doctrine. They structure doctrine. So in other words, God, now here's why, see, the office of an apostle is important, so that's why you can't have no novice as an apostle. I don't believe, I don't believe in no young apostles. I just don't. Because number one, you ain't got no experience. You ain't got no experience with life. You ain't been through nothing. See, you hadn't been in a tight spot where only God can get you out.
Yeah.
See, when somebody say they're an apostle, I'm looking at their life. Do you have anything? Because if you're an apostle, you shouldn't be broke. You mean to tell me God is going to let you structure doctrine and you can't control this earthly stuff? Are y'all getting this? So apostle structures doctrine. Let me give you an example of an apostle structure and doctrine. Every last one of y'all got born again because of what an apostle said, not what Jesus said. Every last one of y'all got born again because of Romans 10, 9 and 10, right? Turn there. Because Jesus never told us how to get born again. Poor Nicodemus was just confused. I hope y'all seeing this. An apostle structures doctrine. Every last one of you got born again because of Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. What it says? That God raised Jesus from the dead, right? What it says? So every last one of y'all that are now Christians have done this, have prayed what we call the sinner's prayer. Paul structured that doctrine. So an apostle structures doctrine. That's why the word money cometh are so effective. It structures doctrine, how we think about money. It eliminates all the erroneous thinking about money and what God said about money. It comes in and begins to set straight what other people have messed up. That's why apostle is so effective in that area, because God called him to do that. So he structures doctrine. Is that making sense?
Yes,
Paul is the reason why we are able to be born again. So watch this. Understand this. And I'm closing with this. Understand this. This is why, and we're going to continue this next week, why we have to understand faith. Because a lot of times faith is not going to come directly from God to you. Sometimes your assignment not going to come directly from God to you.
Amen.
It's not. And the reason is not is because remember now you've been given a piece of faith, a piece of the puzzle. Yes. So that means you're going to be connected to other pieces of the puzzle.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So that means there's going to have to be somebody that can place you in the right place.
Yes, yes, sir.
Ephesians 4, I'm closing. Ephesians 4. I'm a little bit over, but Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, last scripture. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Watch this. Watch this. Start at verse 7. But unto every one of us is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, Jesus, when he ascended up on high, that's how I know it's he said, because he don't know when that ascended up on high. All right. He ascended up on high, he led captive captive and gave gifts unto men. Gave gifts unto men. Now that he has ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? That's also why I know it's Jesus talking. Because ain't nobody else went to hell in our place but him. Right. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things, right? Mm-hmm. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, some teachers for what? The perfecting or maturing of the saints. In other words, they're helping you to understand your piece of the puzzle. So sometimes your instruction is not going to come directly from God. It's going to come through a man or a woman of God. Because the man or woman of God can see the big picture. Moses could see the big picture. He knew the death angel was coming. He knew God had told him what was going to happen. He knew what God was trying to do with Pharaoh. He saw the big picture. So he went to the children of Israel and told them, look, put this blood over your doorposts. Now ain't the time to be saying, well, why we got to do this? Why I'm killing the fattest calf? Why I wanted that fattest calf? Why I got to do that? You don't have to do it. Just don't put the blood over your post. Don't do it. Don't do it. But don't come crying to me in the morning when your firstborn gone.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying? We'll continue next week on faith. All right. Y'all have a good one. If you have any questions or whatever about the, also, it do good that the MP3s for you to notice, the MP3s of the classes and the videos, you have access to them. Just because you're on campus don't mean you don't have access to the online portal. Of course, you know you got to have the online portal to take the exams or what's not, but you know, the MP3s, download them, save them to your hard drive. That's part of the package. It don't take no effort, right click it. Some of you learn, right click it, it says save as, download to your hard drive. Because sometimes, especially Apostle Thompson class, because I'm going to tell you right now, some stuff is going to go over your head. And you're going to listen to it over and over again for it to sink in. So download the MP3s, they're going to be up the whole year. But just download them in case something glitches or whatever and a server crashes on our end, you'll have it and you won't have to ever look for it, all right? Are there any questions about school? Anything? Anything? I mean, any question, whatever. Go ahead. Y'all don't know the site?
I don't.
You don't? Okay, it's eiwtc.net.
Okay.
And I think what's going to pop up is Power Learning, right? Let's go see Every Christian Word Ministries.
Yeah, it's
High School Training for Ministry. That's the, eiwtc, I don't know that one. I know what you're saying. That's the original, but eiwtc.net is going to point you to that URL.
Gotcha.
All right. Everybody able to log in?
I haven't received that. I got an email saying I was going to get a user ID.
Okay.
I haven't received it.
You haven't received it yet? Okay. What you do when you go home tonight, check your spam folder.
Okay.
Because sometimes it might go to your junk. Okay. A lot of times we send out when, you depending on the server, what email service you have, they might consider some things junk and some things not. And if you send something automatic, it might say it considered junk. So check it first, and if not, we'll be sure to take care of it.
Yes,
now, everybody, of course, everybody got a chance to meet Deidre Thompson? Nobody ever got a chance to meet her yet? Well, next class time, next time we have class, which will be Monday,
I'll make sure I introduce her to you. I was hoping she would get introduced to you at orientation, but maybe she didn't. And I'll make sure that you meet her. I'll bring her on camera so online students can see her and put a name with her face, all right? And she does an excellent job. She knows the system inside and out, and she can help you with anything you need concerning the online portal, all right? Any more questions? Go ahead.
You mentioned earlier about the photos for the online. It's only for online students.
Online for online students because you all should have taken pictures. Have anybody taken pictures yet? Well, you will for your badges. Y'all took them at orientation. Okay, well, you haven't yet. After class? Okay. Who, do you know who she
is?
Darius. Darius, the one. All right, there's a gentleman named Darius Jackson. I'll make sure he come introduce himself because he's going to be good for y'all to know, too, because he's the one that take care of all the technical issues. So if you have problems getting on, you can call him during the day at the office, and he'll be able to walk you through it. All right? So when we take that picture will be added to the book that being made for Apostle so he can put a name with a face. All right? Any other questions?
So,
go ahead.
So the Word of God, being the Rhema Word of God, mm-hmm. also comes from Apostle or can come from anyone else?
That's an excellent question. Excellent question. I know I'm going a little over, but I'm glad you asked it. It's an excellent question. This is what we're going to get into next week talking about covenant. Because one of the most misunderstood concepts in the Bible is about connection. Now, I'm not trying to go over and teach you, but since you asked this question, Genesis 12 and 3, it says, it was talking about Abraham. God said, I'm going to make you a blessing. Then it goes to the third verse. It says, I'm going to bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you until all the families of the earth be blessed. The word blessed means to be empowered to prosper. So what God was telling Abraham, that those that empower you to prosper or help you achieve the agenda that I've given you, God said, I'm going to be responsible for causing them to prosper. So that means, watch this, whoever you're connected to, that's who God is going to speak through. Because it would be wrong for God, to tell you be connected to this person, then give you instructions for over here. Because now God is the author of confusion. Is that making sense? So whoever your man or woman of God is, God is going to speak to them. Now watch this. When I talk about receiving instructions, it's going to be done in a way in which, I'll give you an example. Some Sunday mornings, apostle may make a statement, and out of the hundreds of people that's in the place, every one of them going to hear it differently. Because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what you're dealing with and knows how to take one statement and interpret to you to give you instructions. Does that make sense? All right. Any other questions? We're going to get into that more. Any other questions?
It was an attendance question.
Mm-hmm.
I was ill Monday, first day of class.
Mm-hmm.
I did look in the handbook. It stated, if I take the test. The
online quiz.
The online quiz.
Mm-hmm.
And I have documentation from the hospital, then that would be an excuse absence?
It sure would.
Okay.
It sure
so
would.
Who would I give, the copy of the...
Now, don't hold me to this. Yes. I think there's a way that you, if you take a picture...
And email it
to Deidre,
okay.
She'll be able to put it on record.
I can do that.
All right.
Would that also be per class or just the day if you miss?
It's per class. Per class.
Okay.
Per class.
So say it anyway if I just miss per class.
If you miss per class. Like if you got here, you was running late, whatever it may be, and you got here for the second hour, mm-hmm. then you go to the first hour. You'll be able to take the first hour online.
Okay.
And come up with the excuse that whatever excuse it is, not whether it's excused or not, depends on what the handbook say. All right. So just because you late don't mean you excused. Go ahead, sir.
I went on his major decision to register to be here at class.
Yes, sir.
But however, next month I won't be here.
Because whatever reason, if it's work related or if it's something that's pre-planned vacation wise or whatever, we can work around that. All right, so that's no problem. It's just we have to be accountable.
Yes,
all right, and so one of the things this school cannot tolerate is laziness, because God can't use lazy people.
Amen.
That makes sense.
Amen.
So it's structure, accountability. Another most misunderstood concept by God is structure.
Yes.
God is a very structured God.
Mm-hmm.
He's very orderful. He's purposeful. So It ain't no, oh, I get to it when I get to it. No, when God say we need to do this now, when he said, when he told Moses to put that blood on the doorpost, they couldn't wait till after death angel passed. Any more questions? All right. You all have a good night.